This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for no cost, no obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Mountain High Health Foods for health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living. Stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody, and Wyoming Home and Ranch. They have a great selection of dog food, home decor, and the best lawn and garden section in town. Stop into Wyoming Home and Ranch on Bighorn Avenue in Cody for tools, products, and expert advice for all your projects. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling best callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace, well, we have from the Casper Planetarium, Rod Kennedy. Rod, how are you doing today?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in today. We're going to preview the total solar eclipse that's happening. I believe it's Monday, August 21st, and I'm sure you know a lot about that. And I understand, Rod, you've been doing some talks here and there at different parts of the state. Is that right?
Mostly here in Casper. I haven't done any outreach in other places, but I know a couple of our other staff members have. And one of the physics and astronomy professors at Casper College has been. So, yeah, we've been getting the word out.
So, and if you could give the listeners an idea exactly, just your background and exactly what you do there at the Casper Planetarium.
Well, I present shows to students pretty much of every grade level. I also teach a high school astronomy class for students at Kelly Walsh High School here in Casper. I do a lot of the planetarium programs. I oversee some of the junior staff that we have here, and just do a lot of education type things here.
And I know the talk, I guess, for I don't know how long. I mean, when have people actually been talking about this total solar eclipse? How far do you have to go back? Is it something that we've been talking about for a long time? I guess those in the astronomy business, so to speak.
Yeah, well, those in the astronomy community have been talking about it for the last 2 years, really, if not longer. You know, we have very accurate ways of predicting eclipses, decades in advance, simply because we know the motions that well. So we've been talking about it for more than 2 years. Now, the community's been a little less than that, probably about a year, 9 months, something kind of like that.
You know, the special thing about this one that's coming up on Monday, August 21st, it's the first one that will be visible, they're saying, in the continental U.S. Since February 26th, 1979. I mean, President Jimmy Carter was in the White House. Inflation was soaring. Disco music was hot. So it's been a while since we saw a total solar eclipse here in the U.S.
Well, yeah, and actually that one, for those of us living here in Wyoming, that one was not even total for us. That one was only a partial. If you're not along the path of totality, you only get to see a partial eclipse.
Yeah, do you know any background about the one that happened in February 79? Where was the pathway? Where did that pathway lead?
Let me look.
Because you say Wyoming wasn't in the totality of it, I guess. So it was only a partial one then, right?
Yeah. I don't honestly remember, and my book I have doesn't go back, the Eclipse Canon book I have. Well, let me look.
We can talk about some other stuff. And I know that one in 1979, yeah. Before that, according to what I've read, that you have to go back to March 7th of 1970. So, and I don't know, Rod, do you know when the next one's going to be? From the information that I have, the next one that is going to be visible with the pathway, I guess, leads through the continental U.S. is April 8th, 2024, or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the next solar eclipse will be in 2019, but you'd have to go to South America to see that one. So the next one visible from the U.S. is in 2024, but you'll have to, if you want to see totality, you'll have to go to the southeastern United States to see it.
So, yeah, travel.
Yeah, well, and here's an interesting point. Generally, if you wait in your location to see a total eclipse to come to you, if you just said, I'm never going to travel to see an eclipse, you'd wait on average 375 years to see an eclipse.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, you know, really, most of the time, travel is required to see a total solar eclipse.
Now, what about the pathway for this one? I know there's been a lot of talk in the media, and I know that you're right there in Casper. You guys are pretty much in the heart of it, as is Jackson. But in Wyoming, where is the pathway? What specific areas are really going to get maybe a 100% totality of this thing?
Well, it's a roughly 70-mile diameter band that extends from just a little bit south of Yellowstone National Park down to about, I'm looking at my map here, about Alpine. Alpine is on the southern limit, and then it kind of goes towards the southeast a little bit, and then on the eastern side of the state, Wheatland is at the southern limit. Lusk is pretty close to the northern limit. So from Jackson through Dubois, Crowheart, Riverton, Casper, Glen Rock, Douglas, and Torrington grows right over Glendo Reservoir. And so that's kind of the path. It's kind of from that northwest to southeast.
Where is the best place, in your estimation, the absolute best place in Wyoming to view the total solar eclipse?
Well, I would say Casper, but I'm a little bit biased.
You're a little bit biased, huh?
Right through us. Yeah, Centerline goes right through us. So, yeah. So.
And Grand Teton, I understand. Grand Teton's going to have a few visitors, I guess.
Yeah, imagine they're going to be extremely busy, too, you know, with the airport there in Jackson. And so, yeah, every place from about Alpine to, a little bit north of Coulter Bay Village on Jackson Lake. Those are all places that are within the path of totality.
What can you tell us about Cody? I know Cody. Cody's going to have a pretty good view. What percent of the totality? And then, I guess, what can you tell us? I know we're north of the pathway, but what can you say?
Okay, so I'm looking at my map here. And for Cody, it's only going to be a partial eclipse, but you guys are going to get about 97-98% totality.
Which is pretty good, I guess, huh?
Well, it's pretty good, but from what I understand from those people who are diehard eclipse chasers, a partial kind of is really, really, really cool, and you should definitely see it, but is If you can anyway get towards, you can see totality. Totality's worth whatever travel it takes.
How far south would we have to go if somebody listening says, you know what, I want the total thing. I want to go south and check this thing out. Should they go to Thermopolis, Shoshone? Where should they go?
Well, Shoshone is closer to Centerline than Thermopolis is. Thermopolis is only going to get about 49 seconds. About 50 seconds of totality. Shoshone's a little closer to center line, so they get 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
Hmm.
So if you can get to Shoshone, or if you could get to Moose, or you know, even if you could get as far down as Jackson, you know, the closer you are to center line, the longer duration totality lasts.
So you said Cody is about 98% and it's a partial. About what time will it be during the day for people here in Cody, and for how long would you say?
Okay, so the start of the partial eclipse starts at, is at 10:19 a.m.
Okay.
The maximum part of the eclipse is at 11:39. And then the whole thing will be over at 103 in the afternoon.
So the best time to look at it probably is early on. You're thinking maybe between 10 and 11:30, something like that. 10:30, 11:30.
Yeah, 10:30 and 11:30 is when it's increasing, and that maximum is at 11:39.
So I mean, it's and it's going to be dark, and we're talking about the dangers to your eyes later on. But how dark for those that again, a lot of people weren't, in, you know, there were a lot of millennials, a lot of younger people that weren't around in '79 to experience, and like you said, in Wyoming, you didn't get a big, it wasn't a big thing. But how dark will it get, and how long will it stay dark for?
Well, here in Casper, where we experienced totality, even during the total eclipse, it doesn't get completely nighttime dark.
Okay.
The shadow of the moon isn't big enough to cover the entire daytime side of the Earth. So if you looked off towards the horizon in any direction, it would still look kind of like sunset, just like right after the sun goes down. So the horizon is kind of going to glow yellow or orange. So somebody who's at partial, it is going to get darker, but it probably won't get, it'll be like right about, it might be something kind of like twilight or when the sun goes under a cloud. It'll be dimmer, but it won't be really, really what we'd call dark.
So that would include Cody. It's not going to be real dark. It's just going to be not as light as it normally would at that time of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay, so it's not going to be so because there's the, people are thinking it's going to be like a blackout. It's going to be real dark and not even you're saying not even in Casper where you're right in the middle of the thing. It's not going to be very dark.
Yeah, exactly. For us, we might be able to see some of the brighter stars or planets, but it's going to be just like it is right after the sun goes down at night. It's going to be just right that sunset kind of glow. So. But not really nighttime dark, no.
What's the, and I know you're not a meteorologist, but I know that there's a lot of worries about the clouds and so forth. And, when we're still, a couple weeks away or whatever, is there still a worry that it could be cloudy that day? And if there is, how much of an impact will clouds have in this solar eclipse?
Well, it kind of depends. If it's a day like today, like here in Casper today, it's cloudy, overcast, and rainy. That would ruin our eclipse day, obviously. I checked the long-range forecast this morning, and it looked like on the day of the eclipse it was supposed to be mostly sunny. So, a little partly cloudy might not interfere too much. And, only if it's going to be really sucked in do we really have a chance to really not see very much of it.
Now, how about, I know here in Cody, there's a lot of issues with wildfires and there's some smoke and so forth. For people that want to see how much you can see here in Cody, the smoke just won't impact it too much. Is it more of a blur or how will the smoke impact something like that?
Probably not much. It might reduce, I don't honestly know because it's been real hazy here in Casper, but it hasn't really... it's just sort of softened the light a little bit. I guess you guys are closer to the wildfires than we are.
Yeah. And that's what's causing it. Absolutely. Yep.
I would say, it probably won't, as long as the sky's free of clouds, I don't think it would impact it too much. But there again, I, haven't seen it when it's really, really smoky. So.
How much interest have you seen? I mean, obviously there's a lot, but I mean, you personally have experienced working at a planetarium and doing some talks there around Casper. How much interest have you seen generated by this whole thing?
Well, especially here in Wyoming, it's been very, very exciting. We've had groups come from, our planetarium, we get groups from all over the state of Wyoming. Several summer school groups have already brought their students because they want to see the eclipse show that we've been running here at the planetarium. It's been really pretty exciting, especially, here in Casper, because it's, this is really kind of a once in a lifetime event. And, it's kind of like having all these high school state tournaments here in the CNFR, everything all rolled into one on one day, So,
And I'm assuming being into astronomy like yourself, this is probably like the Super Bowl for you, right?
Oh yeah, this is the Super Bowl, the World Series, and the Stanley Cup. You know,
all in one.
Great.
You know, we're going to take a break here and talk about just what a total solar eclipse is here in the next segment. But people need to realize that, and you can't overemphasize this enough, that this is, you said it perfectly, this is a once in a lifetime event. I mean, you got to think 1979 was a while ago, and before that, 9 years earlier, according to the stuff I found, and now we're talking 2024. In the U.S. is not even being in our part of the U.S. So people should take advantage of this. Would you agree with that, I'm assuming?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a total solar eclipse, most people travel the world to go see them. Or, you know, I mean, the people that are what we call eclipse chasers, they spend their lives traveling the world to see total solar eclipses. I mean, it's that moving, and you know, they don't happen where you live that often.
Well, we're going to take a quick break on Speaker Peace. When we get back, Rod's going to tell us exactly what a total solar eclipse is. So if you don't know, he'll tell us. But if you want to join the conversation today with Rod Kennedy of the Casper Planetarium, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
I may be short, but I ride hard.
Looking for kids' boots? Hi, this is Kevin at Wayne's Boot Shop, and we carry a great selection of quality all-leather boots just for the kids. My staff is trained to measure and fit them in just the right size. We'll make sure they have some growing room, but yet snug enough to do some riding. Whether you're looking for tall tops, short tops, narrow toes, or square toes, we have them all. Stop in today and let the staff at Wayne's Boot Shop take care of all your kids' needs, whether it's boots, hats, belts, or moccasins. That's Wayne's Boot Shop in downtown Cody.
I never expected to find a health food store like this in Wyoming.
This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and we hear that comment often. If you're traveling through Cody, we hope you will stop in. Maybe you ran out of probiotics or need something for sinus relief. We have an exciting selection of vitamins, herbs, and minerals, and healthy snacks. From cheese and crackers to organic nuts, kombucha, aloe vera, and coconut water beverages. Mountain High Health Foods, across from Albertsons at the top of the hill in Cody.
Uncle Ray for Garvin Motors of Powell. You know, when you're thinking about a used car or truck, I'd like to help you remember the letter S, as in selection, lots of cars and trucks to test drive, or savings, prices for every budget. An S is in service before the sale to help you find just the right one, and after the sale with a service department second to none. Stop, shop, and save at Garvin Motors of Powell. Your chariot awaits.
At Canyon Therapy, we see our work as more than a profession, and we see each other as more than co-workers. We're a family. This is Allison Tipton, and with one visit to Canyon Therapy, you'll see why we love working together and working with you. We truly value the healing process, and your care is our top priority. The choice is yours. If you need physical or occupational therapy, ask for a referral to Canyon Therapy on Cody's West Strip. Relief, recovery, results.
Midway Auto and RV works harder for you.
Midway has the best RVs in the nation. Keystone's America's number one company. Midway brings you the best quality. Midway stays open later, 6 days a week. We're the working man's dealership.
Midway has over 350 certified vehicles, 4 locations, and the most boats and RVs in northern Wyoming.
Midway will beat any other dealership's interest rates. Bad credit? We make it happen. We will get you financed.
Midway's customer service is the best. We will come early, stay late, and make it happen for you. Check us out at MidwayAutoSales.com.
Break out that grill this summer with the highest quality locally raised meat from Wyoming Legacy Meats. Their state-of-the-art USDA processing facility guarantees a wide selection of all natural beef, steak, and pork. All Wyoming Legacy Meat products carry the seal of safety, freshness, and a rich deliciousness. They specialize in customizing your order by cutting and packaging your meat just the way you like it. From our family ranches to your family's table, get a taste of Wyoming. Wyoming Legacy Meats, 74 Road 2AB, Cody, Wyoming.
Start your own color party with colors like champagne and Jubilee. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains during the Love for Color sale, August 11th through the 14th. Your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store is right around the corner. Find it at sherwinwilliams.com/save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Stage.com, we have fresh deals every day, with even more new looks arriving all the time. Like the latest styles from Calvin Klein, Jessica Simpson, Adidas, Skechers, Carter's, and more. And amazing beauty finds from Estee Lauder and Clinique. Plus, our mobile app and incredible sales give you even more ways to save. There's always something new at Stage.com. Value at your fingertips. Style delivered right to your door. Stage.com.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with Rod Kennedy of Casper Planetarium. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Today we're talking about the total solar eclipse that will happen coming up here August 21st with Rod. Now, Rod, for those that don't know, or I mean, we all know that basically a total solar eclipse happens when the moon gets in front of the sun, but maybe, obviously, as an astronomer, you probably can give us a little more details. What exactly is it?
Well, what happens is a solar eclipse only happens new moon phase. You won't see a solar eclipse at any other phase of the moon. So that makes it really easy to predict, you know. So it happens when the new moon slides in front of between the Earth and the sun and casts its shadow onto the Earth. And that totality, you know, what we see when it starts to get dark, you know, when the sky starts to darken, that's the shadow of the moon going over your location.
Now, the logic behind it, obviously the moon is a lot smaller than the sun. So, I mean, there's the distance between the moon and the sun, and that's why the moon's able to, I guess, cover so-called the sun, right? The distance.
Yeah, well, what happens? Yeah, well, it's the moon orbits around the Earth, and then the Earth and the moon as a system orbit around the sun. Well, it turns out that the moon is 400 times smaller than the moon is, or than the sun is. Okay, mm-hmm. So the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but it's also 400 times closer to the Earth. So the fact that ratio of diameter to closeness is what allows it to exactly cover the sun. It's smaller, but it's also way closer.
So why don't these total solar eclipses happen very often?
Well, it happened. The reason why is because if the moon orbited around the Earth in exactly the same plane as the Earth orbited around the sun, then we'd see an eclipse every month. We'd see a lunar eclipse every full moon and a solar eclipse every new moon. But we don't, and the reason why is because the moon's orbit around the Earth is tilted compared to our orbital plane around the sun, and it's tilted about 5 degrees. Now, 5 degrees doesn't seem like much, but it's enough to where we only get an eclipse. We only enter what we call an eclipse season roughly every 18 months.
Now, there's different types of eclipses, obviously, because people, when they first heard about this, when all the publicity kind of started at the beginning of the year saying there's a total solar eclipse coming, people said, well, I remember there being an eclipse like a year ago or a couple years ago. So there are different types of eclipses, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, about 5 years ago, 2012, there was what we call an annular solar eclipse. Now, it wasn't visible for us here in Casper. It was only partial for us. But down in southern Utah, it was visible. And an annular eclipse, the moon's orbit around the Earth isn't a perfect circle. So sometimes it's a tiny bit closer to the Earth. Sometimes it's a tiny bit farther away. Well, if it's a little further away, it looks like it's a tiny bit smaller in the sky, so it can't completely cover the sun.
Okay, interesting. Now, what other things are going to be transpiring in the sky above us on August 21st, that aside from the total solar eclipse? I mean, that's going to be enough to look at, but are there any other strange things that we might see that we might want to watch for?
Well, as the eclipse is progressing, what you'll see happen is right before totality and right after totality, there's a phenomenon when the light is shining through the mountains and valleys, shining through the valleys on the edge of the moon, you'll see what's called Bailey's beads. Hmm. Now, Bailey's beads is just, is a string of bright dots as that last little bit of sunlight reaches us. Most of the sun's eclipsed, but there's still sunlight shining through the valley, through between the mountain peaks on the edge of the moon. And then when only one is left, it's called the diamond ring, and it's just this last bright flash of light before totality starts.
There's pictures all over the web. It's kind of like when the ring is around the moon. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, that's a little different. That's kind of an atmospheric thing when
ice crystals
are high up in our atmosphere. Yeah, and that's way far out. This is right along the edge of that line where the moon and the sun appear to intersect.
And that happens right before totality or right after?
Well, both, actually.
Both. Oh,
before and right after. Yeah. As the moon starts to move away, the sunlight will come through those valleys first, and then before we see the whole blast of the surface of the sun, yeah.
So if you can make everybody's schedule for them, so to speak, and Cody, for example, on Monday, August 21st, what time should they prepare? I guess what time should they go outside? What part of the sky should they be looking at? And how long should they plan on being outside if they want to get a good look at this total solar eclipse? If you were to give advice for people in the Cody area, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say if you have the day, if you're unlimited on time, go out and experience the whole thing from 20 after 10 to a little after 1. If you're on a schedule or you're working or something like that, go out about 11:30, 11:40. 11:39 is when that maximum eclipse is going to happen. And so if you can only get out for that that few minutes, go out during that time frame about 11:40.
About 11:40, okay. And how long can you stay out? Should you stay out there for if you really want to get the full? You're not going to be able to get the full experience unless you're out there for a great length of time. But if you want to get somewhat of an experience, you stay out there for like 10 minutes, half hour. What would you say?
Yeah, 10 minutes would probably, since it's only partial in Cody, that's going to be your 5-10 minutes on either side of that 11:39, 11:40, would be your best bet.
Now, of course, we'll go ahead and dive into the dangers, the eye dangers of the eclipse. And from what I understand by some of the things that I've read about the total solar eclipse is that, I guess, and I'm not a doctor, obviously, an eye doctor, but when it's dark outside, like it is any time it's dark inside, your pupils are dilated in the dark. So when you have the sky go dark, your eyes are going to be dilated. And the danger is you got the sun still out there, and you're staring at this eclipse while your pupils are dilated. Is that how you understand, or how would you explain that, why it's so dangerous with the total solar eclipse?
Yeah, well, it's less about how much your pupils dilate, because even when the sun is 99% eclipsed by the moon, it's still 10,000 times brighter than the full moon is. You know, so your pupils aren't really so much dilated so much, but you got to remember the front of your eye has a lens in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever been one of those rotten kids that used a magnifying glass to start grass fires, burn holes in paper and stuff like that, anytime you focus light through a lens, you're focusing it to a point. Well, that point is back on your retina. I have my own optometrist. I saw him a few weeks ago, and he looked at a guy who was younger than me. This was many years ago, but he was a younger guy, and he looked, and this guy couldn't see, and he looked at his retinas, and he had this black ring on his retina, and he said, "What have you been doing? Did you stare at the sun or something?" And he said, "Oh yeah, back when I was in college, we were high on LSD, and we had a contest to see who could stare at the sun the longest."
Oh, boy.
Well, basically, he destroyed his eyesight.
Man.
So, it basically will – you're basically burning your retinas off.
So it's dangerous is probably a strong word to use, but I mean, we'll use it. It's dangerous because you have the moon on top of the sun. Then not only the light from the moon, but the light from the sun. Can that explain why it's so bright?
No, it's just the only reason it's compelling. People are compelled to look at it. Something is going on. There's no more light coming from the sun than normal, and there's no more dangerous light coming from the sun than on a normal day. But people see that it's dangerous because people are compelled to look at it because there's something going on.
And you're looking at it longer than you normally would.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
if you've ever accidentally glanced at the sun, you instinctively blink and flinch and move away and stuff like that. Well, the same thing, but because there's something going on, people kind of feel sort of compelled to stare at it. Well, that's really kind of a bad idea.
So how long should you wear your glasses for? Obviously, you need to wear them if you're going to be looking at the sun. How long? You put them on probably before you go outside, but how long? You should keep them on the whole time you're out there looking at it?
Yeah, absolutely. The only time you can take the glasses off, if you're using eclipse glasses, the only time you can take them off is during totality. Well, if you're in a place that doesn't get totality, you have to wear them the entire time.
Which would be Cody, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, now, there's all these people, questions galore about the stuff. Video cameras, camera on your phone, a regular camera, telescopes. You were looking through a pinhole, binoculars, sunglasses. Any of that stuff you want to do, you need to have the glasses on in addition to doing whatever you want to do, right?
Well, here's the thing, and this is something somebody said, and we want to really strongly emphasize this. Pointing a regular telescope or a spotter scope or binoculars at the sun and then looking through them with the glasses on is a really bad idea because you're still focusing the light into, the only way you can look at the sun with telescope, spotter scope, binoculars is two ways. Either one, if you have a specially made solar filter for that device, a solar filter for a telescope.
Sure.
Or if you do what's called projection. If you point it at the sun and you aim the light down onto a flat surface, like a piece of, a white tile floor or a white piece of paper, you make the image big.
Okay.
That's a safe way. Then you can look at that you can look at that image on the ground.
So because I know some people are probably going to try to use the logic that if I put my eclipse glasses on and I look through a telescope or binoculars, I'm good. But you're saying no.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is a really, really bad idea because you're focusing the light to a point just like you would starlight. And so you risk burning through those solar glasses and then all of a sudden your eyes are blasted with that light.
Because you're kind of magnifying the whole experience, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about pictures? If people want to get pictures of this thing, do you advise completely against doing that? Or is there a safe way to take a picture of this solar eclipse?
Well, with the camera on your phone, you could probably put the solar glasses over the lens that way. They do, if you're using like an SLR, they do make solar filters for those cameras. And I don't know, I assume some camera supply shops are going to be carrying solar filters for cameras and things like that. But the challenge is if you think about it, even in the sky, the sun doesn't appear very big. It's only about as big as what you can cover with your thumb held at arm's length.
Yeah.
So, I'm not discouraging people from taking photographs, but if you waste a lot of time trying to get a perfect magazine type photograph, you're going to miss the eclipse.
Cause it goes kind of fast, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's moving along. The whole thing will take several hours, but excuse me. But, if you're spending, it's like we tend to do with our phones, if we're spending a lot of time futzing with the technology, we're not observing the actual event. And that's what we're really trying to encourage people to do is actually observe the event. By all means, try to get a picture, but, most of the cool photographs we see in magazines are of eclipses are taken by professional photographers who've done this for years, and
they have all the right lenses and so forth.
Yeah, they've got all the equipment and all the know-how and all that kind of stuff.
So when you were telling me just a second ago, just to make sure I understood this, if you want to take a picture, say with your phone, you put the phone up to your eye and put the glasses on the outside of the phone, or can you do it either way?
I would say because you don't want to risk frying the image chip on your phone, if you want to wear the glasses so you can see what you're doing, if you have another set, you can put those over the lens of your phone, and you might be able to get something like that. But
either way, it sounds like it's kind of complicated if you try to do that. And I could see why you encourage people to say, just enjoy the eclipse and don't worry about a photo.
Yeah, absolutely. An observation. Astronomy has always been an observational kind of thing.
So you can actually, you said you can fry a chip on your phone or something like that if you're not careful?
Well, I don't really know. I know that some cameras that if you, I'm not a camera expert, and I don't really know an awful lot about how the chips work. But, are you willing to risk damaging the optical chip in your phone, for a picture that I had to replace a phone with a cracked screen here not too long ago, and it was kind of expensive. So
you just got to be smart about the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're really intent on taking photographs, do some research. There are a lot of the astronomy magazines, and there's a lot of information out there about how to photograph the eclipse if you want to try it.
But the big thing is that you just don't go out and shoot a picture. You got to make sure that your eyes are safe, number one, and then make sure you got the camera, the something guarding the lens and so forth.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hey, it's Dewey Vanderhoff.
Hi, Dewey.
Darren, I've seen a bunch of eclipses. I'm a photographer. I only have two things to tell people.
Okay.
From the Cody, Wyoming point of view of this eclipse. If 98.2% of the sun is covered, that's not a total eclipse. And it's possibly the most dangerous point of view for people who think they can get away with going out and looking at a 98% covered sun.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah. If you were way further away and saw a partial, it was much less of the sun covered. People are a little more cognizant of what's going on, but anyone in Cody who thinks that it's okay to just go out and sneak a peek at the sun while it's still showing at all, and that means 98.2%, you're, first of all, you're missing the main event, second of all, you're playing with fire, and you only have one retina, it can't be replaced. It's just, I've been to several presentations. I have been talking this thing up for years. I knew this eclipse was coming 20 years ago, and I've seen six eclipses, most annulars, but I've seen two totals in three or four annulars all over the place, Morocco, California, America, and no two of these are alike. But anyone in Cody that thinks just because most of the sun is covered that it's worth looking at and they can do it without protection is making a serious error in judgment.
And you say people that want to take photos, the same thing then do what you suggest, huh?
Always, yeah. In that sense, maybe a little wildfire smoke won't be a bad thing because the sun usually shows through it, usually with some color, and it might actually act as natural filtration. But the other thing, Darren, is what is today, the 11th, 10th?
10th, yeah.
See, we're 11 days out of this thing, and there are very, very few solar eclipse classes to be had in Cody right now. Park County Library had them. They're sold out. Chamber of Commerce still has some of their goofy, and I do mean goofy, cowboy hat classes for $5, which are more kitsch art and a collector's item than actual practical eyewear for an eclipse. Walmart sold out of their glasses. They got some back into the optical department, but you have to ask for them. They're not out on the counter. You have to go back to the eyeglass people and say, I'd like some solar glasses. They'll go get you some. They're $2. Everybody is sold out, and pretty much the only place to get those little $2 cardboard glasses that you wear right now is online. And they're going fast. And anybody who sits here on the edge of totality, like Cody, and expects to see something, you're going to need those glasses more than you know. And if you haven't got them, you're going to have to go to Plan B and Plan C, which is, your guest said, is projecting the sun. I always use tinfoil. Take a cardboard box, put a little tinfoil hole in it or window in it, put a pinprick hole through that tinfoil, put a 9-inch paper plate at the back of the box, and you can actually make a camera obscura, which projects the sun back onto the plate, and you can see the partial phases. But solar glasses are darn near impossible to find in Cody right now, even though there were thousands of them for sale a couple weeks ago. So people, get them today. Order them now. The other thing I want to say is, and I'll leave you be, if you think a 98.2% covered sun is worthy of your gaze and praise, you're completely missing the greatest natural spectacle visible to man on Earth if you do not go the 100 miles down into the total zone to see the main event. And I'm telling you, people, don't be stupid. There is no reason to go to work that day. 98.2% of the people should take the day off. The 1.8% that absolutely have to be on the job, your police dispatchers, your emergency room technicians, the absolutely essential people that have to be at work should stay at work. But the other 98.2% need to get up and drive down at least as far as Thermopolis or the Hamilton Dome turnoff, where you will see a grand total of 10 seconds of totality, but it's better than none at all at Hamilton Dome. If you go to Shoshone, you get the full 2 minutes and some seconds. Thermopolis is good. The Wind River Canyon is going to be a choke point, but I have great faith in the Highway Patrol that they will keep the traffic moving. Don't expect to pull over to the side of the road on the guardrail and watch this thing. The Highway Patrol doesn't like that. But YDOT has been mowing the grass along the highway from Shoshone to Casper. They have been cutting the grass clear out to the right-of-way fence on either side so people can pull completely off the highway, off the shoulder, and down into the borrow ditch and park. They've been doing that, and God bless them for doing that, because they know this wave of humanity is coming. But please, people, please, take the day off, play hooky, tell your boss I have got the eclipse flu, and get the heck out of Cody and get down the road. Trust me on this. Take your children. Do not miss this. Do not poo-poo it. Do not think that 98.2% of the covered sun is worth going outside and looking at in the morning. You have missed the main event.
Hey, Dewey, okay? I appreciate the call.
That's my 2 points of discussion for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Rod, before we take a break, just want to ask you, if you have the glasses on, how long consecutive time can you look at the sun for during the eclipse?
Well, theoretically, I guess you, with the glasses, you could look at it the whole time, but they tend to get a little hot. So, you know, you might do well to just, you know, put them on, watch for a little while, take them off, take a break, give your eyes a rest, things like that. You know, we were out with them a couple weeks ago when it was really hot, and they do tend to warm up a little bit. You're not in danger of melting them or anything like that, but they do get a little uncomfortable when you stare at it for very long. So I would say, you know, a few minutes, you know, 2-3 minutes at a time, take a break, 2-3 minutes at a time, take a break, kind of do it that way.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Rod Kennedy of the Casper Planetarium, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
During the Can-Am Yellow Tag Sales event, get $2,000 off the only piece of farm equipment invited to Sunday's barbecue. Whatever vehicle you're looking for and whatever you're looking to do with it, we've got you covered. Get a $2,000 rebate on select Can-Am vehicles until August 31st at Rogers Sports Center, located at 2812 Bighorn Avenue in Cody. Hope to see you today.
Offer ends August 31st, 2017. Certain restrictions apply, subject to credit approval. See your dealer for details.
West Park Hospital Prevention and Wellness is sponsoring the second annual Stash Dash for Men's Health Saturday, August 12th at 8 a.m. Free 5K, competitive run, and a just-for-fun 2K. Kids and pets are welcome. Age group awards, prizes, refreshments, and men's health information. Register at the Rec Center or runsignup.com or 7 a.m. on race day. Free shirts for the first 75.
Wyoming Cancer Resource Services is funded by the Wyoming Department of Health Integrated Cancer Services.
This is Brandon Douglas, real estate loan officer for First Bank of Wyoming. We are excited to offer competitive rates to those who are looking to purchase a new house or refinance their existing home. Stop in to see us in Powell or visit our other experienced lenders located in Cody and Lovell. We provide personal service that our customers have come to expect from their local bank. Your loan officer will be there every step of the way to answer questions and guide you through the lending process. Come in today and turn your dream of owning your own home into a reality. First Bank of Wyoming, where you are first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
2017 is the summer of the eclipse, so why not make it the summer you eclipse your comfort zone? Get adventurous and sign up for Cody Parks and Recreation's annual triathlon or duathlon Saturday, August 26th. Participate as an individual or team and swim, bike, run, or just bike and run in some of Cody's great outdoor spaces in and around Beck Lake Park. Pre-register at the Rec Center by August 14th before fees increase, and be sure to watch the Cody Rec Center Facebook page for updates. Get adventurous and try it. Saturday, August 26th.
Join us weekdays for 2 hours of local talk, news, weather, and sports here on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI. From 4 to 5 p.m., it's a rebroadcast of Wyoming's award-winning news talk program, Speak Your Piece, followed at 5 with an hour of in-depth news, weather, and sports with award-winning sports director Tim Anderson. It's the information you need to know. Weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m., only on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, your news authority.
At Stage.com, we have fresh deals every day, with even more new looks arriving all the time. Like the latest styles from Calvin Klein, Jessica Simpson, Adidas, Skechers, Carter's, and more. And amazing beauty finds from Estee Lauder and Clinique. Plus, our mobile app and incredible sales give you even more ways to save. There's always something new at Stage.com. Value at your fingertips. Style delivered right to your door. Stage.com.
The next generation of appliances at the Home Depot now has something even newer. Extra savings, up to 25%. Take the GE Diamond Gray Front Load Steam Washer and Steam Electric Dryer with a Time Saver feature for a deeper clean in a shorter cycle. Just $5.98 each. Over $800 off the pair. Talk about cleaning up. Nobody beats our prices, guaranteed. The Home Depot. More saving. More do it. U.S. only. While supplies last. Gas Dryer Extra. See store for details. Valid through August 23rd.
We are back on Speak Your Piece. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with Rod Kennedy of Casper Planetarium. Today we're talking about the total solar eclipse. It's going to take place on Monday, August 21st. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Judy Frisbee.
Hi, Judy.
Good morning. Last night at the museum, there was a presentation about this solar eclipse, and there was a professor of astronomy, Larry Sessions, who gave it. Chuck Preston had brought him in, and he kind of indicated what Dewey just said, that if you are here in Cody at the 98%, you basically will hardly know it's happening, and it'll be a short time, and that to really experience the thing, you do honestly need to get down to the 100% area. And he has, and it gives the exact times for the entire area of Wyoming. And if you go to a website called Starman at USA.net, again, Starman at USA.net, he has a chart that shows all kinds of different things for Wyoming. And earlier in the program, someone asked about the path of the 1979 eclipse. And it, he had a map that showed the different, I think, four eclipses that have happened. And that 79 eclipse went in at northern Oregon, through Idaho, northern Montana, and out the northwest corner of North Dakota. So it was a very small path. Whereas this path comes in Oregon or Washington there and comes goes you know, through Wyoming and down through another state, and then out South Carolina, and it's a much longer path than the 1979 path. And so that's why it's such a wonderful thing for us to get to see. But and then also on August 20th, the night before in Cody, Wyoming, they're going to have three NASA space people here talking about this also. That will be, if it's as good as last night's, it'll be incredible.
Judy, appreciate the call. Thank you. You know, Rod, something interesting you told me off the air, just the last time Wyoming had this view of the solar eclipse, when and who visited was interesting.
Yeah, there was an eclipse in the, I want to say it was 1878, and don't quote me on my dates, but there was a total solar eclipse visible in southwestern Wyoming, and Thomas Edison actually came out to Wyoming, to Rawlins, to conduct an experiment. They were trying to measure the temperature of the sun's corona, and it's kind of interesting because he when he got here, the only building left for him to set up his equipment in was an old chicken coop, or was a chicken coop. And so as the sun's dimming, the chickens are coming back to roost. What normally happens in Wyoming, the wind started to blow, you know, and so his experiment was almost a dismal failure. And then when he started collecting data, his data was off the chart, but he did finally manage to get everything set up and collect some meaningful data and learn some things about the sun itself.
You know, got a few minutes left. What have been some myths or things that you've heard about the total solar eclipse that people really think this really happens, this is really true, that you've had to dispel, or anything else of that nature?
The big one, and we touched on this earlier, was that, oh, the light during an eclipse is more intense and more dangerous than any other time. And it's like, well, no, it's not. The sun continues to do its thing. It's just the reason it's dangerous to look at is because there's something going on there, you know. The sun is a very stable star. It doesn't change, you know, the amount of light it emits, you know, might fluctuate a little bit over time, but it's not any more or less dangerous than during an eclipse than any other time. Another myth that's out there is pregnant women shouldn't look at the eclipse because it can harm their fetus. Well, no,
that's interesting.
You know, we're protected by a very strong magnetosphere around our planet that protects us from all those kinds of harmful things. Another one is that it's going to cause earthquakes, you know, and things like that. And it's like, well, no, the sun is 93 million miles away. I mean, any Wyoming geologist can tell you that, you know, earthquakes result from, you know, fault, you know, motion along fault lines and things like that. So, you know, it has nothing to do with eclipses.
There's no other problems it's going to cause, is there, that you know of?
Well, honestly, the greatest problem, like our guest Dewey, or our caller Dewey, touched on, is people attempting to look at the eclipse. You know, that's dangerous to your eyes. People trying to watch the eclipse while they're driving their car and not paying attention to what they're doing, you know. The eclipse isn't going to cause any harm. Any harm that happens is caused by us humans.
That's the way, Rod, it always works, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know, Rod Kennedy of the Casper Planetarium, it was a great educational show today. I appreciate you taking the time and telling us about the total solar eclipse Monday, August 21st. I guess remind everybody to wear their glasses. And you said if they only have a few minutes, 11:30 is the time then, huh?
11:40 is the maximum. So
okay.
Between 11:30 and 11:40 is a good time. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Rod, thanks a lot. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And that will do it for Speaker Peace. I'm Darren Dudrick. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.